I'd like to welcome you to the Minutes of Truth radio program, brought to you by the Eltsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams and Mark Schatz lead us in a study of God's Word.
This is Paul Adams, and this is the Minutes of Truth radio broadcast brought to you by the Eltsville Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us today and that you are interested in listening to what God's Word has to say to us today. And we just have a few minutes to share truth today, and so let's do that. Let's think about, as we look into the Word of God, and consider, as we study together for just a little while, about why we should repent, or why should I change? When we read about Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, here's what Jesus himself said. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus repeats that statement twice. And here it's not just that the very worst people need to repent, but all people need to repent. Everyone who's ever sinned needs to turn away from the sin that they have done. This word repent means to change, to do a 180, to turn about, to do a U-turn, so to speak. Well, what we'd like to study today as we look into God's Word is, why should I change? Why should I be so convinced, so committed, that I would want to change my life? Why would I want to make changes in my life? Well, as we spend a few minutes of truth together, we'll look into the truth of God's Word to answer that question. But I would like for each of us to answer that. I'll put myself in that place, and maybe you can too. Why should you change? Why should I change? And so let's consider again what the Word of God has to say. You know, one thing that I notice as I study through the Word of God about why I should repent, why I should turn away from the wrong, is that I know that God is long-suffering. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Scripture says this. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so I see these verses, and I realize that what it's talking about is that some were doubting that Jesus would ever return again, that Jesus was that some were doubting that there would be a second coming of Christ. You know, that's what we wait for today. We wait for Jesus to come and to take the saved home to be with Him. But some thought it had been a long time already, and some today may think it's been a long time. And so they wonder if the promise of Jesus' return is still valid. And here we see that the Lord is not slack, but instead He is long-suffering. Do you know why that this world has not been called to an end yet? Well, that reason might just be because God is waiting for you, or for me, to repent and to turn from wrong that we're doing. Here it says that God is long-suffering, and He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that each of us would have a chance to come to repentance. We know that eventually this world will end, and there will be no more opportunity for repentance, but while this world stands, we have an opportunity to turn away from the wrong that we've done. Also in 2 Peter, chapter 3, and a little later in this chapter, in verse 15, it says, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, The long suffering of the Lord is salvation. We still have a chance so long as we have life, and so long as this world stands, we still have a chance to turn and to do the right. We're asking the question today, and it's a very good question, a very biblical question. Why should I change? Why should I do anything any different? Why should I turn away from sin? Why should I repent? Well, realize this, that God is long-suffering, and that He's giving you an opportunity. And as you let time go by and you don't turn away from sin, you are squandering that opportunity that God has for you. You are ignoring the long-suffering of God. Why should I change? One reason is, I know how long-suffering God is, and He's giving me an opportunity that I must not neglect. Why should I change? Let's consider another reason as we look into God's Word and we consider what the Scriptures have to say about that. And another reason would be, I know the terror of the Lord. Now, terror is quite a powerful word here, but it's one that's used in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second one. In chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, here's what the Word of God says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. So here he talks about judgment, appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us must do that. The things that we've done will be called to mind, and whether they're good things or whether they're bad things, they will be brought out. And here he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing that how awful it would be to stand before the judgment seat of Christ unprepared, to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be lost, to stand in judgment and to not be able to hear, enter in, but instead to hear the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. The terror of the Lord. You know, Jeremiah talked about terror in Jeremiah 17 and verse 17, when he said, do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. You know, God is our hope. Jesus is our hope. And so we don't want that hope to instead be a terror. We want to be saved. And so knowing the terror of the Lord, we need to be ready to change. We need to be ready to make those important changes and to repent, to do what God wants us to do. Why should I change? Well, a good reason is because I know the terror of the Lord. I know that it would be terrible to be before the judgment seat of Christ and to not be saved. Well, there's two things that we look at. We're going to look at five altogether today. But the two that we've seen so far is, I know that God is long-suffering. He's giving me an opportunity. His grace is available to me as long as I have life and as long as this world stands. And I know the terror of the Lord. I know there's a judgment coming that I'll have to give an account. I'll have to answer. And so we consider those things. Well, let's consider a third one in this Minutes of Truth radio. I am sorry with godly sorrow. Why should I change? Because I realize that I have done things that are against God. I have done things that have separated me from God. I have been wrong and done wrong things. I have sinned. And for those things, I'm truly sorry. And the sorrow that I have is a godly sorrow. That's spoken of as we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. The Word of God says, as Paul writes to these Corinthians about changes they needed to make, he says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance." You see, it led them to change. As we read on, it says, "For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." As we see here, this godly sorrow that we're to have for the wrong that we've done, that it produces in us repentance. We realize that we have sinned. We all have sinned, in fact, and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3 and verse 23. As we look at that and we consider that, we are sorry for the wrong we've done. And when one is sorry with a godly sorrow, it produces a change that he doesn't want to do those things anymore. It also mentions the sorrow of the world here. Maybe sorry you got caught, or not sorry enough to make any changes. Well, that produces death. But look at what a great opportunity is here. When we realize that we have been wrong, and it brings about godly sorrow, which produces repentance, here it says it leads to salvation. And so we realize there that this godly sorrow will help us in finding the way of salvation. In Psalm 116, verses 1 through 6, look at what this psalm says. It says, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me." This is a psalm that talks about the mercy and the grace of God. It talks about deliverance, and it talks about salvation. It talks about humility, being brought low. And so I realize that when I have been wrong, I need to have in my life this kind of godly sorrow. As you look into the Word of God and you consider reasons why you need to change, why I should change, is one of those is that I have this godly sorrow. I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done, and I want to do better. I want to change and live for God. Consider another. This is the fourth one we're looking at today, reasons why I should change. And one of the reasons I should be willing to change is I appreciate the goodness of God. That's pointed out to us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. The scripture there says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" God is so good that I want to be with him for eternity. God is so good that I want to be like him. The goodness of God helps me to see a better way than all the evil in this world. And I don't want to despise how God has been so good. I don't want it to be in vain. His forbearance, his long suffering that we've already talked about, because this goodness, the goodness of God, leads us to want to change and to live a life that is acceptable to God. I appreciate the goodness of God, and that leads me to repentance. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, the scripture says there, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off." God, in his nature, he is both good and severe. And here Paul points out, as he writes to the Romans, that we want to experience the goodness of God. But if we stay in sin and we're unwilling to ever repent, then we will experience the severity of God. And he makes a point here about how it is so important for us, it is of primary importance to us, that we are willing to respond to how good God is by having what we've already looked at, godly sorrow that leads us to repentance. As I look here, I think, why should I change? Well, we've looked at four. We see, number one, I know that God is long-suffering, that he is patient, and he's giving me an opportunity that I must not neglect. Number two, I know the terror of the Lord, that I don't want to face judgment being unprepared to meet God. That for the things I have done that are wrong, I am filled with godly sorrow. And that brings me to a point that I'm willing to repent and change. And we looked at just now the fourth one. I appreciate how good God is, and I don't want to be separated from him. I don't want to be lost in an eternal hell, but instead, I want to be with God for eternity. Well, let's look at one more, and we've kind of talked about this as we've studied along a little bit, but we want to emphasize it so that it cannot be misunderstood. And that is, as we look here, that I know that judgment is coming. When we look into the Word of God again, to find the truth as we're sharing together in the truth of God's Word today, in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, there we have written, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That is, to change, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. If we read these plain and simple words, realizing that he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness, that causes us to repent. All men everywhere need to repent. Why? Because judgment is sure. Judgment is coming. It is an absolute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, I think we read this verse earlier, but it points it out in just such plain language. As we look in Acts 17, we read about all men everywhere need to repent. Here it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the all men everywhere appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we all have to be willing to make that change, to turn away from the wrong that we've done. You know, repentance is part of God's plan for how we can be saved. When we look at what it takes for someone to be saved, we look into the Word of God, and you know, it's important that we're willing to hear the gospel. In fact, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the book of Romans, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, to have that opportunity to hear the gospel. Are you willing to hear and know the truth? Well, when we come to find out who Jesus is by hearing the gospel preached, we need to come to believe in Jesus as God's Son. Jesus made that very clear. When we look into his word and he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's in Mark chapter 16. And when we realize that Jesus says, in John 8:24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so, in addition to hearing, we need to add to that hearing that we come to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him in Hebrews chapter 11. So when we hear that gospel preached, we come to believe in Jesus as God's Son. He is the Savior, that we need to repent. That's what we've talked about today. We need to change. This is part of God's plan for saving man, that our faith in who Jesus is so powerful that it causes us to want to change and do differently. It causes us to be sorry with godly sorrow for the wrongs that we have done and to turn away from those wrongs. And that's part of what God would have us to do in order that we might be saved, to hear the gospel, to believe in Jesus, to repent of our sins, to turn away from every wrong that we've done. When we think about coming to hear, believe, and repent, we also need to be willing to confess Christ before men. There was a man who was traveling, and Philip was teaching him the gospel in Acts chapter 8. And as Philip taught him the gospel, that he wanted to be baptized. And Philip asked him a question. And he says, "If you believe, you may." And this man said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You read that in Acts chapter 8, that he made a good confession. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. That's found in Romans chapter 10. And so we have to be willing to confess Christ, to actually say it, say what we believe out loud, to hear the word of God, to believe in Jesus as God's Son, to repent, as we've studied today, and to confess Christ before men. And then, when we've done those things, we're ready to be baptized. In Acts 2, the people who came to hear, believe, and wanted to obey the truth, they were told, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias told the man who would eventually become the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus, he told him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." When we have heard the word of God, we have believed in Jesus as God's Son, we have turned away from every wrong, made the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we've been baptized into Jesus, we are a Christian then. We are added to the church. We are part of the saved. And as we look at that, then we realize that at that point, we have to be willing to live faithfully. We don't just consider everything done at that point, but instead, we have to keep on being faithful. Revelation chapter 2 tells us in verse 10, "Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're told to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You read all these things and you realize that that's what you need to do to be saved. If you've never done those things, we would love to talk with you about that. But one thing I want you to notice is, we said, why should I change? Why should I repent? That's been our study today. It's part of God's plan for man to be saved. It's part of that plan of salvation that God has. Well, you've heard some truth today. And how would you respond to this truth of why I should change? Do you know that God is long-suffering? That he is patient? That he is waiting for you to change? Do you know that the terror of the Lord, what it would be like to face judgment unprepared? Are you sorry with godly sorrow? Do you regret those things that you have done in the past? And has that godly sorrow moved you to change? Do you appreciate the goodness of God? So that you have this opportunity that God has given you, and it calls you to repent, to change. And do you know that judgment is a surety, that judgment is coming? It's not if it comes, it's when it comes, and we don't know when that day will be. But knowing that judgment is coming, that we must repent, we must change. And it's part of that plan for saving man, that when we come to hear, believe, we repent and we confess Jesus as the Christ, and that we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that our sins can be washed away, so that we can be forgiven. We are baptized so that we can have the remission of sins. And then we begin that walk as a Christian in which we live for Him. You know, Christians aren't perfect. And when Christians sin, they have to be willing, once again, to repent. When we look at a man named Simon in Acts chapter 8, he was a Christian man who sinned. And he's told to repent and pray that the thought and the intent of his heart might be forgiven in Acts chapter 8. You can read all about that. And so sometimes Christians need to repent. They need to turn away from the wrong that they've done. They need to make things right with God by going to God and praying about that, by asking Him for His forgiveness as they tell God the wrong that they have done. And so repentance is such an important Bible topic. And as we consider the truth of what repentance is, and when we consider the truth of why I should change, I would ask you today, is that something that you need to do? Well, if you need to reach out and contact us, my name's Paul, and you can give me a call at 812-876-2285, and I'll be happy to talk with you about the gospel, about how you can be right with God. If you wanted to send me an email, you can send that to truth@ellisvillechurchofchrist.com. And we would love to have you at all of our services as well. If you want to just stop by the services, I'm sure we could find some time to talk about those things. Give me a call, 812-876-2285. You could also send that email to truth@ellisvillechurchofchrist.com.
Minutes of Truth and Answers of Truth are presented by the Ellisville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellisville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you'll join us again next week at this same time for a few more minutes of truth.